Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Captain Serrano, Sweet Delight.
Station Tug 34, permission to grapple.
Permission to grapple.
All fast, on your signal.
Captain Serrano of Sweet Delight, permission to undock on your signal.
All clear on station. Confirm all clear aboard.
All clear aboard.
Graphic Audio presents The Serrano Legacy by Elizabeth Moon. Book 1, Hunting Party, Part 2. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Colleen Delaney, Sonny Lasky, Andy Clemens, David Coyne, Tess Rowan, Terrence Aselford, James Konacek, James Lewis, Michael John Casey, M.B. Van Dorn, Dylan Lynch, Thomas Penny, Ken Jackson, Richard Rowan, and Mort Shelby.
They were down and not dead. At the moment, that was all he cared about. His hands ached, his ears rang, his whole body hurt. But they were alive and out of the flitter, which now looked far too small to have held so many people in so much fear. Bubbles and Rafa, with far more gumption than he would have expected, had unloaded everything useful from the flitter. The survival raft and all its provisions, the scuffed but whole duffels. George brushed the sand off his and hoisted it to his shoulder.
Never pays to buy cheap luggage. Come on now, Ronnie. Give the girls a hand, can't you?
Ronnie glared at him. He looked, the odious George, as he always did. Fresh, creased, polished to a high gloss. Not a hair of his dark head ruffled, not a smudge. Dip the odious George in shit, some senior cadet had said their first year. And not only wouldn't it stink, it'd take a shine. Now, on the sandy beach, after a flitter wreck, Ronnie thought he knew what he looked like. He said nothing, but picked up two of the remaining duffels, staggered a bit, then dropped them.
What now?
Ronnie clambered onto the flitter. He wished he could remember how he'd gotten out of it.
The beacon. We need to signal for a pickup. Unless you plan to swim back to the mainland.
You gave it to me. You don't remember?
He didn't remember. He crouched on the flitter's canopy, suddenly aware that he was not functioning in some important way. He looked around, blinking. The sea, the sand, the trees. He remembered that. They'd crashed the flitter, and whoever owned it would be furious.
Who crashed the flitter? They aren't designed to crash easily, and George and I are both good pilots.
Ronnie looked at the flitter itself, at the large hole in the engine section, the scorch marks black on the outer skin.
What happened?
Damnation. He's concussed. He doesn't know what's happened or... Oh, come on, ladies. We've got to get him away from here.
Why, George?
I thought you weren't supposed to move hurt people until medics got here.
Someone stronger than Rafa or Bubbles pulled him off the flitter and slung him over a muscular shoulder. That completed his collapse. He spewed the breakfast he'd eaten down George's legs and knew nothing more for a time he could not measure. Ronnie awoke, lying on his back with the sun prying his eyelids apart and someone beating his head with a collection of spoons. At least, that's what it felt like. He had no desire to move, though he would have appreciated quiet, darkness, and a cool, wet cloth on his forehead.
If my father knew...
And what makes you think he doesn't?
What do you mean he knows?
I don't suppose he knows his daughter's involved, no. But something like this, as big as it is, on his favorite resort world, how could he not know?
Something like what?
Oh, I expect you know, little lady.
Every hair on Ronnie's body rose at that little lady. He wanted to leap up and knock that voice into the sea, but he could not move.
It's a hunter's paradise, isn't it? And your dad, or maybe it's her dad, is a famous sportsman, isn't he? And the whole point of sport is you give the prey a chance, huh? Isn't it? That makes it a challenge, see?
Manhunting, as you very well know, since you came here for that purpose.
But it can go two ways, see? Hunting predators, it can always go two ways. And men are the most dangerous. There was a story once.
Everyone knows the story, Sid. Be quiet.
The command in that first voice made a connection for Ronnie. It sounded like Captain Serrano. It sounded like Captain Serrano the time she had ordered him off her bridge, or the time he had overheard her talking to Aunt Ceci about battle. He struggled to open his eyes and found himself blinking up at a dark, unsmiling face.
Well, and what have we here, young man? Who are you?
Ronald Vertigan Boniface Lucian Carruthers, Royal Aerospace Stellar Service.
Ronnie looked around, now that he could see, and there was the odious George, looking remarkably tidy, with a gag stuffed in his mouth and an angry expression on the rest of his face. Bubbles looked almost as angry. He wondered if she was going to come out of her usual wild blonde disguise for the occasion. And Rafa, whom he hoped would someday be his Rafaela, had no expression at all. He had never seen her like that, and he hoped he never would again. The dark face above his did not smile.
Royal ass, eh? And you probably think that means something here.
And you are? I have not the honor...
That's the truth, little boy soldier. You have not the honor indeed. You don't know what honor is.
Little Pete plonks down in a flitter and bumps his poor little head, pukes out his guts, and thinks he has a right to say the H word.
Shut up, Kev. We don't have time for your nonsense any more than his.
A jerk of the head indicated George. The dark eyes contemplated Ronnie.
But you, you're going to give us the truth, Mr. Ronald Vertigan Boniface Lucian Carruthers of the Royal Assholes. You didn't learn to fly with that bunch of old ladies, boy. Who are you really from?
Hard hands grabbed his ears and shook his head. He had thought it hurt before. Now he knew it had been merely uncomfortable. He felt his eyes water and hated the man for that. His stomach roiled.
I told you, we're from the main lodge. We wanted to get away from the fox hunting.
And try other game?
And just play around.
At the moment, Ronnie didn't care if he did die. His head might as well have a real axe in it as whatever was causing what he felt.
My Aunt Ceci, you wouldn't know her, and that demon captain of hers wanted me to spend all day every day on a horse chasing some miserable little furry thing over fields of cold mud and fences designed to make horses fall down and dump their riders. And we got tired of it.
Ronnie closed his eyes against the bright glare of the forest canopy.
We wanted to rest. We wanted to have fun. I asked Bubbles if there wasn't some place on this miserable dirt ball that wasn't cold and muddy and full of horses. And she said, let's go to the islands.
Oblo?
Ronnie gave himself up to contemplation of his headache and the mystery of his stubbornly unhelpful arms and legs. He finally thought he felt something weighing him down or tying him down, or something of that sort. External, not internal. He was sure he was wiggling his toes. For some reason, the discovery that he probably didn't have a broken neck did not make him feel better.
No weapons. Not with them or on the flitter, except a cat eye. That's standard survival gear on flitters, most worlds. Food and minor medical supplies and stuff they'd pulled out to take with them. All the IDs check out, as far as we can know, without accessing a link. Flitter ID was still in the active comp. No sweat getting it out. It's Lord Thornbuckle's, all right.
And the beacon?
Back aboard, sir. Same as you said. Tough to make it look like it hadn't ever been out, though. On the other hand, maybe they'll accept all that cracked casing as why it doesn't work. Did my best.
I'm sure you did, Oblo.
Ronnie opened his eyes again to find the dark face he remembered looking across him to someone else.
Why'd you put the beacon back? That's stupid. We need rescue here.
You may need rescue, but we don't need hunters tracking us by that thing.
You shot us!
Ronnie was sure of it, though he saw no weapon that could have served.
Yep. Thought you were the hunters. We had a chance to drop you in the water. Not a bad job of work, the way you got that flitter to land. Wasted all the work on you, looks like now, and we've still got them to deal with. And if they know about you, we've got even more trouble, if that's possible.
Oh.
Ronnie could not think of anything to say and looked at George, but George, gagged, could not argue for him.
I'm sure my father doesn't know.
Bubbles' blonde hair looked straggly, coming out of whatever she'd done to keep it in tousled curls. She raked it back with both hands, hooking it behind her ears.
This is our special place, the kid's place. Even if he did something so horrible, he wouldn't do it here.
Kid's place?
We camped here every summer until I was 15 or so. Some of the younger cousins still do.
Ronnie let her voice lull him back to sleep. He didn't like being awake anymore.